which is deeply embedded, as we'll see, in a famous limud of the Vilna Gaon, the famous verse of the Gra. Please God, we're going to be able to learn this together and enjoy a little bit. If we have time, we're going to see how this relates to Emesha Chachma in last week's parasha as well. It is the same idea. We spent a decent amount of time just getting to the right place here. We spent a good amount of time last week, Baruch Hashem, talking about the Gemara's limud of Baruch Hashem Shvet Taher, that the sun comes and purity arrives. And we discussed Rav Kook's understanding of Baruch Hashem Shvet Taher, whether that relates, the Gemara says, to Taher Yoma, Tihar Yoma, or Tihar Gavra, that the day is complete or the person becomes pure. Rav Kook's beautiful understanding last week that one does not need to be pure. One does not need to be a perfect person. One does not need to have shlemus in order to be able to call out to Hashem in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the night. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. However, when the morning arrives, that will become necessary. In the darkness of the night, tahara is not necessary. The day just needs to be over and nighttime needs to come the right time. Does not necessarily demand the right person. That is Mahalach number one in this understanding. That's what we dealt with last week. What Rav Kook is going to talk about now is Lechara is a pashat question in the Gemara. It would seem to be an exceedingly obvious question, because the pasuk says Uvah Hashemesh v'taher, that the sun sets v'taher. Tahara throughout the Torah means a person becoming pure or something becoming pure. Nowhere in all of Torah's Moshe is the concept of tahara in reference to a day. It's not, or perhaps there are references to it. It's not the simple understanding. Not the simple understanding of, if I were to say to you, Uvah Hashemesh v'taher, and we're talking about a person that was tameh, you would tell me, I think that means something about the sun and the person becoming pure. And yet the Gemara entertains this as a serious question. Perhaps tahara means not the person, but the time period, but the day. And that is exceedingly peculiar. It's something that bothers Rav Kook, and it should bother us as well. To that end, Rav Kook discusses the following. You should be able to see this clearly on the screen. Everybody see that? The Ois Gimel? You see that there? Ois Gimel, beautiful. Shkoich. Okay. So the Gemara says like this, Umi mai dehai uva hashemesh bias hashemesh. How do you know that bias hashemesh means the sun setting? Bias hashemesh is the sunrise. Is the day. Is the day is over. Dilman bias oru, who maybe means the morning, gavra. Maybe it means night time and the person is tahar. Says Rav Kook the following. Be'enai nira lil hisboinin b'tam remes inyan asofik shel shnei ha'apirish b'tevas v'tir. He says, it seems to me that we have work to do to understand what exactly the Gemara is talking about with this remes, with this idea that tahar, that v'tihar means either the person or the day. V'tihar ha'omor Achar uva hashemesh, that there's a tahara that comes after the sun, that there is a time-bound tahara. Tahara refers to time. Ikai al taras yoma taras gavra, that it relates to the day or the person. He says, Umar ro chazal lefi ha'emes lehoitzi inyan v'tihar ha'nemer v'tari lefi pashta al taras gavra lasum oisei al taras yoma. Translating and paraphrasing this, the question that we just asked, he says, it seems strange that Chazal would even have such a havamina. It seems strange, says Rav Kook, with a superficial glancing across the sugya, that there should even be such a question. Meaning, obviously, tahara relates to the person. To tell me that tahara relates to the day as the pshat in the pasuk is very challenging. It's very challenging. However you want to understand Pshat, Chevra at PRS West, we've spent a few years learning different Mepharshim. So 2 years ago, we spent a year learning the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra mi balei ha-pshat. There's no ways that the Ibn Ezra would say that this is even possibly pshat in the pasuk. But the emphasis is that even al-pi drush, this is a very hard drush to make. Very hard drush. How do you say v'tir means tir yomen, that the day is finished? And that means something to do with the time period, tahara? Very, very strange. It says b'melitza ha'aniris zara. It's a phraseology that seems strange. While looking with external eyes, with superficial gazing. Says Rav Kook, to this end, we are going to need to understand what tahara means, what a person means, and what time means. Now, the truth is, we could spend all year talking about any of these things, what tahara means, and what a person means, and what time means. Because, of course, tahara is a seder in Shas, right? There's a seder called taharas. And time is also a seder in Shas, and that's called ma'ed, right? And Adam, a person, lichara is all of Shas. It's relating to a person. So there's a lot to figure out. There's a tremendous amount to figure out if we're going to talk about what any of these things mean. Nevertheless, says Rav Kook, we will begin with understanding what Tumah and Tahara is in the world of the Rambam. And he writes as follows. He says, Unam yuvnu hadvarim al pi ha-muskol akol v'gam chachamim amru kedivir ha-ramam zalbamar nevuchim. Says we should explain things that should be understandable to everybody. And this is found in the Rambam and the Maran Avuchim as well. Sha'atumas v'atahara shabatara heima remozim gdolim li'inyone tumas ha'nefashas v'tara son mitumas ha'deus v'amidas v'amasim ra'im. The tumah and tahara in the Torah are not just ritual institutions. They relate to aspects of a person's psyche, psychology, and essence. A person can be tame even if they are tahar completely from a perspective of din. And a person can be tahar completely, arguably, we'll try and understand in a moment, even if they are tame from a tumas mace. You see, because tumah and tahara have two distinct areas. There's Tumah and Tahara as it relates to the rituals of Tumah and Tahara that the Rambam writes in his Akdama to Seder Taharas, that there are 11 different kinds of Tumah. And Chazal tell us that there's a concept of Tumah Hayotze Alav Migufay and Tumah Haba Alav Milchutz. There's Tumah that comes from inside of a person and Tumah that comes external to a person. Internal to a person are tumas like a zava and a zava and a nida and a yeledes and a balkari, right? All the kinds of things, different kinds of sexual emissions that occur, as well as childbirth. And then there's tumah haba'a lav mibachutz, tumah that's external to a person. For example, a sheretz or a mace. Those things would be coming external to a person that affect, or nevela, would affect the person as a result of coming in contact with them. Those things are all tumors that come from inside or come from outside. And there are processes to remove those tumors. Either a person has to go to the mikveh, or a person has to go to the mikveh and bring a korban to get full kapara like we spoke about before. Or a person would need para aduma to sprinkle the may para aduma in order to purify them. And of course, for certain kinds of tumah, very severe kinds of tumah like mitzora, there's a whole process to become tahar from being a mitzora that involves different korbanos, coming to the Beit HaMikdash, being in quarantine for a couple of days, right? And the Gemaras will speak about these dinim of tumah and tahara. But there's also tumah and tahara that comes as a result of chataim, that comes as a result of sins. What's the tumah and tahara that comes as a result of sin? So the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Shavuos explains that tumah and tahara, there's tumah, says the Gemara, related to the big three. How's tumah related to the big three? So what are the big three? That would be Gila Arayis, Shvichas Damim, and Avrazar. All of these things have tumah related to them. There's tumah as a result of doing these averas. Now, this is not ritual tumah. It's not ritual tumah. If a person is over avodah zarah, that does not make them ritually tummy. But there is a concept of tumah that is external to that, that seems to be different than that. And this is something that all of the Rishonim and Achronim and Kadmonim dealt with. If you take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch, the Chinuch deals with this in two or three places. The Ramchal deals with this extensively. The Shlo deals with this extensively. Practically speaking, very, very, very much all regal achas. How? What is the relationship between ritual tumah and this quote unquote spiritual tumah? Though spiritual is a hard word to define. So the Shlo explains at the beginning of the Hakdama to Sefer Vayikra is that all tumah. Both ritual tumah and chet tumah come as a distance from a Jew being in Gan Eden. Meaning, as a result of Adam HaRishon sinning and us leaving Gan Eden, all bad things, both chet and tumah, come as a result of that distance. For example, tumas leidah. The tumah that comes as a result of giving birth. Why? Giving birth is a wonderful thing. How come a woman becomes tameh? Yeah, because that was the curse of Chava, of coming out of Gan Eden, was now you're different from what you're supposed to be. The tumah that comes there as a result of death. Yeah, because we were supposed to be v'chai la'olam, supposed to live forever. So now we don't. Now we don't anymore. So that's not shayach to us anymore. So that is a distance from where we're supposed to be. And the same is true of chataim. And the truth is, in Parshas Para, in Parshas Chukas, in the laning for Parshas Para, so the Eretz Tzvi. Anybody know what the Eretz Tzvi is? This is some good and important history. I'll give you a clue, Rimaish. Yeshivas Chachma Lublin.
The Kazaglava.
The Kazaglava, thank you. The Kazaglava, his name was Arya Tzvi Fruma. He was the Eretz Tzvi. The Kazaglava Goyen was the Rosh Yeshiva. There you go. Beautiful. That's the Agada. The Kazaglava was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachma Lublin after the Patira of Rimei Shapira. So the Kazaglava writes in Eretz Tzvi that from that Gemara in Shavuos that the big three, the Yarek Val Yavar Chataim, that those Chataim all have Tuma. So he proves that all Chataim relate in some way, shape, manner, or form to those three, that there is Tuma by every Chet. That there's Tuma by every Chet. Every Chet distances a person a little bit more, and he proves it from that Gemara. By the way, something Maridic, just for those of you that are interested, since we mentioned the Kazaglava already. I saw very recently somebody translated one of the Maisim that it was happening by the Piazetzna, the Ish Kodesh, in the first couple of months that he was in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he worked in a shoe factory. Ish Kodesh, the Piazetzna, worked in a shoe factory. There was I don't remember the name of the shoe factory. I think Schultz was the name of the owner of the shoe factory. And they were making, the Nazis hired this shoe factory to produce boots for Nazis. But it was a good way to survive when you were in the ghetto. So one of the Hasidim, I think, of the Piazetzna, writes about seeing his Rebbe working in the shoe factory. He said you had the Piazetzna on one side of the bench, and on the other side of the bench was the Kazaglava, was the Eretz Tzvi. He says, and after a few minutes of watching them, you realize that they were not in a shoe factory at all. They were talking and learning in Ramazim. hinting to each other, just a word here and a word there. They were mamish in Gan Eden in a shoe factory in the Warsaw Ghetto. The Ish Kodesh and the Kashuk Lava. They were in the same room. It's tremendous to think. But all of this Yisoid ties back to what Rav Kook has just told us, that from the Mor Nevuchim, Sha'atumas va'atara shabatara hem remazim gedelim linyane tumas hanefashas v'tarason. The Tuma and Tahara in the Torah, the ritual Tuma and Tahara, the dinim of Tuma and Tahara, all relate to the concepts of Tuma and Tahara with regards to a person's being, a person's essence. Tumas hanefashas v'tarason, the connection that we have in the deepest way with Ribbono Shel Olam. In the world of deus and midos and masim and negative activities, negative actions, negative thoughts, negative midos. And then the pasuk, and then Rav Kook continues. Says v'nei kozvim, and then the pasuk says, "Ami ba'avram chiyotzibai va'avraham zaken ba'biyamim," which, by the way, this is parsha. "Va'avraham zaken ba'biyamim." What does this mean that Avram was a zaken ba b'yomim? Ba b'yomim, that he was coming in days? Vos means thus coming in days. So says Rav Kook the following. He says, V'neda hadrasha ha-muzgaras sha-yomim ba'u la-shlemim. That Avram Avinu's days were sholem by him. Avram Avinu's days were sholem. They were whole. They were complete. What does it mean that his days were complete? So before we explain this, there's a very famous story of the perush of the words Arichus Yomim. You know this Maisa? Of the Sfasamus. Sfasamus was Niftar, he was young when he was Niftar. The Sfasamus was Niftar at the age of 56. He was a very young man, relatively. Sfasamus was 56 years old when he was Niftar. And his son, who was the Imre Amos, Avram Mordechai, the Imre Emes eulogized his father and said, "Our father had Arichus Yomim." So one of the other children said to him, "How can you say that our father had Arichus Yomim? He died at the age of 56. And he was the Rebbe, by the way, of the largest Hasidus in Europe, completely, Poland for sure, the largest Hasidus in Europe. I said that there were 20,000 Hasidim at his Levaya. That's a lot. If anybody has been to Ger, there probably isn't enough space in the streets for 20,000 people in Ger. But he said, our father had Arichus Yomim. So I said, what do you mean Arichus Yomim? He says, I didn't say Arichus Shonim. I said Arichus Yomim. Not long years, not a lot of years, but Arichus Yomim. That every day was a meaningful day. He made the most of each day, which Rav Kook says is pshat in Avraham Zakin Ba B'yomim, that each day was a meaningful day, that each day was something to talk about. Says Rav Kook, we all know the vart, and we should know the vart if we don't. He says the vart from the Gra, Michlal Din V'cheshvan Kvar Bir HaGra Zal. Everybody knows the vart of Din V'cheshvan from the Gra. What's the vart of Din V'cheshvan from the Gra? So Shacheshvan Yova Alazman Sheibei Biyosei Osuk Bibchitus Vaavera. There are two things, says the Gra, that a person is going to give has to give a reckoning for. There's Din and there's Cheshvan. Din is for doing Averas. Person wasn't supposed to speak Lashon Hara. We spoke Lashon Hara. That's Shver. She was not supposed to speak Lashon Hara. So there's a din on speaking Lashon Hara. But in the business world, they also refer to something called an opportunity cost. What's the opportunity cost? Is instead of speaking Lashon Hara, there was something else to do. There's a lot of other things that a person can do instead of speaking Lashon Hara. You can learn, you can daven, you can do chesed, you can do masim tovim. Which means that not only has a person done something wrong, but chalil a person has also wasted time. And that time doesn't come back. That time is now over a butter. It's done for. So there's din. Din is what a person did wrong. Spoke lashon hara. You're on your way home from work and you in the car and you pass by a McDonald's and you buy a cheeseburger. Okay. So you did the wrong thing by eating the cheeseburger. But also, while you stopped and went to get the cheeseburger, you weren't listening to the daf anymore. So what happened to that zman? What happened to that time? And that time is irreplaceable. That time is impossible to get back. And now one has a challenge. How does one deal with rectifying time? Now, they tell a story. This is the kind of thing that you have to say softly, because it's a frightening story. In the Evan Shlema of the Gra, the Talmidim of the Gra, that collected from the Evan Shlema, so they have a Maaseh. I think it's in one of the footnotes there. In the print from the Evan Shlema from probably 20 years ago, that the Gra was once walking on a Shabbos, and I think the Maaseh was that he saw a Bacha smoking a cigarette outside of a bar on Shabbos. So he turned to one of his Talmidim, it could have been Reb Chaim V'Lajina, but I'm not sure. And he said, not only will that Bacha have to give din for the Chilul Shabbos, but he will have to give cheshbon on the secrets of Kabbalah that he didn't reveal. Because he's Mesugal, he's capable of revealing secrets in Kabbalah. It's got a very lofty neshama, this Jew. He says, not only will he have to give, he'll have to answer for the din, for being Mechal HaShem, smoking a cigarette outside the bar on Shabbos, but he'll have to give cheshbon on what he should have or could have or might have been doing with his time. That bacha. That's frightening. There's a din and there's a cheshbon. Says Rav Kook, now that we've discussed that there's a din and a cheshbon, last three words on this page, he says, Shahaya la'asayik b'dvarim ha'mevin lai l'kir baskani yis barach shmai. The person should have engaged in coming closer to the Rabbani Shalom. Says, v'hinei hayayim sha'avar v'layish lima bayi nafshay v'yari mimadregasai kvar timei hayayim sh'layish lima bayi chukai. Person did the wrong thing on a particular day, not only have they been metame themselves, they have been metame that zman. They've taken away from that time period. Because a person was given time in order to elevate themselves, in order to ascend, in order to climb up in the world. And now when a person does tshuva, they want to fix the thing that they did wrong. Yesh b'tshuva so shtei madregos. There are two things that need to be fixed. Hamadrega acha shemesaken akilkul v'chayzen amatzav shlei musai. K'may shahaya kodem chete. A person has to fix themselves. I messed up. I spoke lashon hara. So now I have to not speak lashon hara anymore. Now I have to fix myself up from speaking lashon hara. I have to be not about lashon hara. That's important. I need to no longer be speaking lashon hara. So a person has tshuva. They work on themselves. You be a big bal tshuva. Figure yourself out. Stop speaking lashon hara. Baruch Hashem. Chatati, aviti, pashati. I did the wrong thing. Rabbi Hashem, I'm sorry. And you go through all of the stages that the Rambam says. Shiyazev achayte chetav. Yasir machshav yasev. Yigmah b'liv v'shila yasev. You aid. That you go back from doing the wrong thing. You're not good. I'm not doing lashon hara anymore. I'm not speaking lashon hara anymore. She has never chayte chayte. The yatsim achshav asav. And then I train myself to not even think about speaking lashon hara anymore. The yigmah b'liver l'shalayi. I say, well, and then I commit to never speaking lashon hara ever again. Done. I'm not about lashon hara anymore. And then if you take a look in the parish beis of hilchos tshuva, that the next time that you have an opportunity to speak lashon hara and you really want to, you're omid b'tshuvascha. The next time that you come to shul, It'll be after Corona. And you'll be sitting next to somebody. Remember when you used to sit next to people? Used to be a thing. People used to sit next to other people in shul. I'm old. You'll be able to, you know, you'll tell your grandchildren, once upon a time, we used to sit next to people in shul. Right? And somebody's going to come and sit next to you, and you're going to look at them, and you're going to go, oh, do I have some lashon hara for you? Oof. Some lashon hara. And it's not just regular, like it's like a fleshika lashon hara. Right? You're going to have to wait 6 hours after this lashon hara before you put anything else in your mouth. It's the greatest lashon hara in the world. And then I'm a Baal Teshuva. I'm not going to say the lashon hara. Okay. So you're a Baal Teshuva. Baruch Hashem. Now you don't have to you don't have to worry. Baruch Hashem. You're no longer Baal lashon hara. You can say I'm a Baal Teshuva. Okay. So you fix yourself up. We're on the sixth line here. He says, "Afilo loy ala adayin lemadrega shayi kaidim chetai." He called Makom Kevan shekvar yata mirishai. Iyer shay loymer al oisa hayom she'ein by tahara lefi erch hayomim. Says, but even if a person hasn't fully become a Baal Teshuva, you're not sure. Am I gonna be able to hold on to it? Or am I not? But I'm climbing up the madriga. I'm now using this time that I spent as a Baal Lashon Hara. I'm using that as a platform for me to become a better person. So he says, even if you haven't fixed yourself completely, you've already started to fix the time. Because your previous days are now a platform for the later days. He says, "She'aval pik she'nivchan matzav ha'ish nimtzeihu shelo yipal chukai." Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the accounting, the reckoning, and he goes through all of the days of a person's life and says, "Ah, that Tuesday morning during Chazaras Hashat, you didn't say Amen. Instead, you spoke lashon hara. So, what happened to those 10 minutes of your life?" Person was supposed to become a better person as a result of listening to the Chazaras Hashat and saying Amen. And I didn't arrive. I didn't climb up from that. A person can go back and say, "Ribbono shel Olam, I made a mistake on that day at that time, and I messed up, and that wasn't what I was supposed to be, and now I've learned from my mistake, and that day that wasn't supposed to be like that, and that Chazaras Hashat that I wasn't supposed to be speaking Lashon Hara, I can look back and I can say, I shouldn't have done that." So now that's no longer wasted time. That time now is time that was part of the learning process. That's part of the tahalich of a person's life and growth. I figured out a way, a moment of being able to do more. He says, "V'nimtza shahayom nitar mitzad atzmai." So now I've rescued the day. I've rescued the day because I was a Baal Avera, I spoke Lashon Hara. And now I've done tshuva. Now I've done tshuva, I've fixed that day. Baruch Hashem. I've now gone back. I've been masakin. I've fixed that problem that I had on that day. That's no longer a waste of Chazaras Hashat. He says, "Aval ha'odem mitzad atzmai oid loy nitar ad she Yosef omitz v'yiras Hashem v'kirvas alakim yachbetz v'yasef se'is mikfi shahaya kodem chetay she'az yale b'malah gedolim mikfi shahaya v'nimso she'toshuv loy tarosay gam ken mitzad ha'odem." He says, but while it's true that you have rescued that time, you haven't rescued that opportunity yet. You understand? Now I can use that time as, I understand, I made a mistake during that time, and now my tshuva can fix the time. But I didn't grow from that time. All that I've done is I've reset to neutral. Right? Now I'm neutral. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me an opportunity. There was an opportunity for me to give tzedakah to a particular person I was supposed to give tzedakah. But instead of giving tzedakah, I was whatever it was. Instead of being able to answer the door when the ani came and knocked on the door, I was watching a movie that, you know, maybe I should have watched, maybe I shouldn't have watched. So I didn't hear the ani come to the door. And then somebody tells me, "Oh, you missed out on this opportunity." You go, "Oh, gevalt, I feel so bad." Okay, so you did tshuva. But you still didn't give the tzedakah, right? The tzedakah still is not given. Until you go and find the ani and you give them the tzedakah. You find a way to reach the level that you were supposed to reach, right? Figure out a time, I mean, find some way of making up for that lost time. That's very hard to do. But to be moisiv omitz, to be able to climb another madriga in that, so that's called taharas gavra, that the guy becomes tahar now. The person to gain into Hara themselves, like they were supposed to have gained. He says, and now we can understand what the Torah is talking about when it comes to the Tahara of a person that is Tameh. Uva Hashemesh v'taher, the sun comes and there is tahara. Yesh v'zeh shtei madregos. There are two madregos. Mitzad hatvila v'ha'erev shehu remes al tahara mechet v'ozvei haderech hara. There's tahara, go to the mikvah and say, "I'm sorry that I messed up. Put the past behind you." That's what the Torah says. I was a baal lashon hara. Okay. I'm sorry that I was about Lashon Hara. I should stop speaking Lashon Hara. I should, you know, stop whatever, talking in shul. I did the wrong thing. I'm going to stop. So you go to the mikveh. You purify. Vayar Shemesh. It's over now. It's over. Va'ozoi Haderech Hara. Kvar Nitar Hayon. Okay. So now the day is not a day filled with Averis anymore. I've fixed the day. It's no longer filled with Averis. Shekvar pa'al ba'id over time. Because you've already done something good. What's the good thing you've done? Tshuva. Tshuva. Person has recanted on the thing that they did. I abandoned my Avera. I'm walking away from it. I'm no longer interested in being a Baal Avera anymore. I don't want to be that person. Aval adayin bichlal ha'adam lo nitaher. But we still haven't fixed up ourselves. I was supposed to do something with that tongue. Before the chet, there was a madriga that a person was at and has now been downgraded as a result of it. It's now a downgrade. And there's a loss of opportunity of being an upgrade. When the morning comes, there's a light of Torah and wisdom and knowledge of understanding. And it brings a korban to rededicate themselves, to re-inculcate themselves, to reacquaint themselves with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Badas v'yiras Hashem v'avasai, to strengthen the relationship. She'az zdoinosav mishapchais l'schuyos. Now the zdonis becomes chuyos. We're talking about tshuva me'ahava. As v'tir gavra, now the person is tar gam ken mitzad atzmai, from themselves as well. So let's explain just very, very simply what Rav Kook has told us. Very, very simply. I'll say this b'derech mashal. This is something quite harsh. I remember when I was in yeshiva, so one of my friends had a wedding to come back to in America. It was his sister's wedding. And the parents wanted him to come back for, I think it was 2.5 weeks. You know, because you're going to come back a week before the wedding, a couple of days before the wedding, you got to be around, be with the mishpacha, you're going to be there for the Shabbos Kala. And then you're going to be around for the whole Sheva Brachas and then the Shabbos Sheva Brachas. And then you come back afterwards. So it worked out to about 2.5 weeks out of Yeshiva. So he went and he asked Rav Stav. He said, he asked Rav Stav, you know, Rabbi, my parents want me to come home for 2.5 weeks. What do you think? So Rav Stav said to him, I think that the better thing for you to do is fly back day before the wedding, go to the wedding, and then fly back afterwards. That's the more appropriate thing to do. Now, a friend of mine is a big Talmid Chacham, so serious Ben Torah. So he said, Rabbi, what, you know, for a family wedding, for my sister's wedding, you know, it's not worth the missing out the siddurim. My parents want me to do it. My family wants me to do it. It's good. Make shalom with that. So Rav Stav said to him, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. That there's all of the calculations that make it such that you should go back for 2.5 weeks for your sister's wedding. And when you get to the Olam HaEmes, the Rosh Hashanah is going to ask you, what happened to these 2.5 weeks of Talmud Torah? And you're going to explain to him, it was my sister's wedding, and my parents wanted me to come back for the week before, and the Shabbos Kal, and the wedding, and the Shabbos Sheva Brachas. And I didn't want to make machlokes with my parents, and I didn't want my sister upset. And the Rosh Hashanah is going to say, Inachami, you're 100% right. But so, you still will not have learned the 2 weeks of Torah that you missed. There's no way of also having learned it. Can't also have learned when you didn't learn. You understand? There's no way of also having that. There's a din and there's a cheshbon. And I'll be din, for sure, mutter. But the cheshbon, what did you miss? You missed. Very kedai marimakam to this idea, by the way. You see this in the Maharal. The Maharal in Parshas Baalayscha talking about Pesach Sheni, where Rashi says that it was a gnai for the Jewish people that they only offered one Korban Pesach for 40 years in the desert. So the Baalei HaTosfos explain, what's the gnai? So the Gemara says, the Baalei HaTosfos explained there was a gnai, it was degrading, derogatory, that the Jewish people only offered one Korban Pesach in the 40 years in the desert, because they weren't supposed to be 40 years in the desert. They were supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael. There was a chait. The chait caused them to miss out on 39 years or 38 years of Korban Pesach. So the Maharal says, I don't understand. They were potter. They were potter, for 38 years in the Midbar, they were potter from bringing the Korban Pesach. They were potter. The din was, don't bring it. So what's the gnai? What's the gnai? Says the Maharal, to not do a mitzvah, even if you're potter from it, even if al din, you don't have to do it. To be in a situation of ptur is also a gnai. It's also not good. Meaning, a person is, if you imagine for a moment, imagine a Jew that, you know, is born and does nothing good and nothing bad their whole life.